WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest is one of the funniest actresses working today, a genius at portraying different types of characters, Tracy Ullman. After coming to the U.S. from England, she established herself through her Fox and HBO TV series. Tracy Ullman co-stars in Woody Allen's new movie, Small Time Crooks. Woody Allen plays an incompetent crook. He's a schlemiel who thinks he's smart. He's served time in prison and is now stuck in a dishwashing job, while his wife, Frenchie, played by Ullman, works as a manicurist. In this scene, early in the film, he tells her he has a new scheme that will require investing their entire savings.
Frenchie, I need our 6,000 bucks.
What?
I gotta have our 6 G's.
That's our whole savings.
Yeah, I know. Don't get dramatic about it.
Come on, Ray. 6 G's. That's all we got, right?
Frenchie, I got a brilliant idea. I'm going to make us rich.
How are you going to make us rich? Rob a bank?
How'd you know that? That's fantastic. How'd you guess that?
What?
That's fantastic. First shot out of the box. You got it.
Is that why Tommy Beale's coming over and Denny?
Frenchie, what would you say if I told you that you were married to a very brilliant man?
I'd say I'd have to be a bigamist.
Although the heist Woody Allen is planning fails, it inadvertently leads the couple into a fortune, and money changes everything. Tracy Ullman, welcome back to Fresh Air.
Oh, it's nice to be back.
Describe your character of Frenchie.
Working class, hard working, and she's not stupid, you know, she's not a dumb broad. Horrible dress sense. I wear some horrific outfits in this film.
We'll get to that in a moment.
I think she's kind of bright. She says something in the film which is kind of sad, and you realize she says, you know, I was smart at school. I wanted to stay on at school, but there was always some emergency. And you think, oh, what does that mean? You know, she was always like made to look after a younger sibling at home or something, and therefore didn't get the education she would have wanted. And that was a key sort of thing to say about the character for me.
No, the character in the first part of the film particularly dresses quite badly. There's some lime green stretch pants that you you have to wear early on.
Yeah, they're really bad. I mean, you know, there should be a legging law, you know. Me and my daughter Mabel always think that anyone over 6 months should be banned from wearing leggings because they're very offensive to us fashion-wise. You know, when you see those women with the VPL, the old visible panty lines.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
There's nothing worse than a woman who's had 3 kids who's like, I got my figure back, and she's wearing leggings. And so we think they're vile. And I wear a lot of leggings in the movie. I wear like some sort of bad fashion items from the late 90s, like the shrug. Did you get into the shrug, Terry?
Wait, what's a shrug?
It's like a mini cardigan. It's got arms, but it just like sits over your shoulders.
Oh, I didn't know there was a name for that.
Oh, it's horrible. It cuts into everyone's armpits, and I get to wear a pink, fluffy shrug. I look kind of like a Muppet. And I got to wear a Biore nose strip. Biore would be very thrilled with me.
Oh, I thought that's what it was. First,
yeah.
I thought, oh, did she get someone break her nose and she got bandages? And I thought, no, it's one of those pimple strips for the nose.
Yeah, where that girl rips it off and goes, ew, looks like a porcupine. You know that? And I thought, every woman in America will know what I'm doing here because we've all sort of experimented with those strips.
Now, you know how actors talk about how, like, if you put on period clothes, you're taken to another era and it makes it easier to get into character.
Mm.
Well, when you put on your shrug or your lime green stretch pants to get into character, what does it do for you?
It makes my ass look enormous. My son said, yeah, you look fat. When he saw the film, I said, yeah, well, you'd look fat in lime green leggings. And Kate Moss would look fat in lime green leggings, Johnny, you know. It's just great. Yeah, I mean, I love dressing up. I always seem to wear the most ridiculous things. And I rarely dress in anything where I'd want to keep the wardrobe. But I love it.
Who dressed you for the movie?
Suzanne McCabe is the costume designer on this film. She'd been an assistant of Jeffrey Kurland, who'd done most of Woody's movies for years. And so I'd worked with her before. And she got promoted this year. And we spent about 4 days getting ready for this movie, just surrounding ourselves in all these shoulder pads and, you know, all these different fabrics. And what's so great in this movie is that I go from rags to riches. So there's so much fun in playing nouveau riche. You know, somebody who wore lime green leggings and pink fluffy shrugs, you know, I then get to have money. And so there's a lot of tight sort of business suits with shoulder pads and Versace type things. And my hair was great fun to do too. I wore two different wigs for the movie, the poor hair and rich hair. So that, you know, when I'm in my lime green legging phase, as we should refer to it from now on as, I had that horrid sort of badly processed, dyed, permed hair. You know, you get what you pay for with hairdressing. And then I imagine that when she gets in the money, you know, somebody says, you know, we really should, you know, just help your hair a little. You know, she had the buttery chunk highlights put in. She probably goes to a salon uptown. And they did that blow-dried look, you know, that blowout style that everyone seems to had the last couple of years. And then, of course, for evening, if you have hair like Frenchie, you do the Ivana Trump look. You know, up it goes and the little spiky bits with the gel. And so I had a lot of fun with my look.
So did you go shopping with the woman who was the clothes designer for the movie?
No, I can't do that all going shopping again because it drives you mad in stores. Because if you try something awful on when you're, you know, creating a character and the shop assistant goes, oh, you look fabulous. You're like going, do you think I would honestly wear this? What's the matter with you? You retarded or something? You know, and then you tend to get offended, you know. So, and also people recognize me sometimes now. So,
right, sure.
I'd rather just do it in the privacy of my own dressing room.
So they brought you back the stuff.
Yeah.
Do you fit in off the rack stuff or do you have clothes made for you?
So I like vintage stuff. I find that very interesting now. I like, because you can find something unique. There's no point in buying a designer dress, you know, you splash out for it. And the next week it's on Shania Twain in The Enquirer, Yasmin Bleeth in The Globe, you know, Carmen Electro in a Miami courtroom appearance. And you think, oh, blimey, I spent all that money, you know. So I like vintage, but vintage is a bit smelly, isn't it?
Well,
Terry, you know what I'm saying. When you get the little arm shield, armpit shields from the 30s, and you go out in a vintage dress and you start having a dance or something, and then you release a lot of 30s BO, you go, that's not my BO. Oh my God, it's 1937 BO within the, you know what I mean? They get a bit smelly.
Let's talk about the accent that you use in the movie. I mean, you know, the speaking style. Could you describe how the character speaks?
Well, it was, I talked to Woody before we did the movie, and I guess I've really established myself with that Long Island Jewish thing, you know, and I think we realized they weren't Jews. Because they get nouveau riche, you know, like Jewish people would never have people tell them what to do. Do you know what I mean? Or how to dress. Because in the movie, I want to be told how to dress, how about culture, about museums, about art. And I thought, you know, this is somebody that is maybe from Jersey, Brooklyn. And then I had a wonderful makeup artist on the movie called Rosemary Swirlow. And she says things like weren't. You know, when New Yorkers say things like weren't. And she used to be an operator for the telephone company. So I would say, how did you used to talk when you were an operator, Rosemary? Just hear her voice, you know, you got to talk to my supervisor. You know, I'm putting you on hold. Hello, operator. And she has this lovely, very feminine voice. And so I would get Rosemary to read my lines for me a lot of the time. And other elements of, you know, people too, but Rosemary was a big inspiration to me.
You have a lot of really hard T's at the end of words, like got
and David, you know, like if somebody says David but they say David, and it's a affectation I notice, especially when working class women are trying to talk better, you know, because Frenchie becomes something better in this movie. So it's like she starts to, oh, I love art. I love it. Picasso, Rembrandt, you know, the boys. And it was that kind of, you know, very aware of how she's sounding. Because like my mom, when she answers the phone, you know, there's 647-0468. And you go, hello, mom, it's me. Oh, hello. No, it's that telephone voice thing.
Now, tell us more about what you have to do when you're creating a character for a movie. And this is interesting because it's a character you're keeping for 90 minutes. It's not a sketch that's just going to be 3 minutes.
I was sent this script, and I was told a man would come to my office. I had a strange sort of Italian name, and he was going to sit there while I read the script, and then he would take it away again. It was all very secretive, you know. And
you mean that he was going to, like Woody Allen was going to send a secret agent to give you the script?
This guy called Martinelli arrives. He sits in reception, and I was told I had to read the script, and when I'd read it, I would just hand it straight back to him, you know, in a plain brown envelope. And I did ring Woody's office straight away and said, please, can I keep it? Because I would love to do it, and I need to read it some more to really get working on it if you're offering it to me. And then you're right, to sustain something over 90 minutes, it's a different sort of discipline. But it's such a good story, it does sustain.
So what other things did you have to do to inhabit this character? What other research, places you had to go, people you had to talk to?
I don't know why. It was kind of there for me, Terry. I spend a lot of time in New York. Woody doesn't rehearse, which I don't mind because I'm very spontaneous. The show that I write and do, I've been writing it for 9 months, so I've kind of rehearsed in my head, and I don't have time to rehearse with actors. They just show up on the day and we do it.
The preparation is
in the clothes, it's in the wigs. I talked about that, really important to me. It's in my nails, particularly for this role. I grew them. I never have long nails. I have the ability to grow them.
And they were polished.
I polished them every night. They were like my pet thing, you know, don't touch me, don't knock me, and my nails, you know, I can't wash up, I can't do that. And my nails became a thing, and my hands moved differently with this character, and I just, when they said finally cut, wrap and everything, I cut them off within 3 minutes. They were so irritating. You can't do anything with long nails.
Now you talked about not rehearsing for Woody Allen's films.
No.
Can you say that you want another take? Can you say to him, I'm not happy with what I did in that take?
Oh, yes. He's very giving. I mean, he's very, you know, he's... it's a very calm set, actually, Woody Allen films. It's people that are there that have worked with him for a long time. You're all there because you're there to do the best possible work. You're certainly not there for the money. Nobody has big trailers and cappuccino machines and nutritionists and all that excess stuff that just slows everything down and is a nightmare to me. That's what I don't like about movies, all the fuss. You know, I work in TV and it's fast and it's spontaneous and here we go. And films, it's like, 3 hours to set up a shot with two people. I think it's a waste of time. And everyone's supposed to look beautiful all the time and everyone's touching their lip lines up and they're brushing hairs out of their eyes. And it's totally unnatural to me, all that. I hate it. Because I come from wanting to be an actress, I love Ken Loach films and Mike Lee films. And you don't even have makeup artists on that. You just make yourself up and turn up, you know, because it's real.
Because
I'm not into the glamour business of it all, you know. So, anyway, to go back to that's what I love about Woody's pictures. It's very no-nonsense. You notice he does a lot of things in one shot. There's not coverage, which drives you crazy and totally ruins the rhythm of a scene, especially with comedy. He can get away with that on a big screen, though. I think it's difficult to do on television. And he's very generous and very... He has a lot of confidence in me now, which I'm really proud that he does, and he will say, would you like another take? And you want to say this, that's okay. If you'd like to say that, that's okay, and make it your own type of thing. And so there's a lot of freedom.
My guest is Tracy Ullman. She stars in Woody Allen's new movie, Small Time Crooks. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Tracy Ullman, and she stars with Woody Allen in the new movie, Small Time Crooks. You first saw Woody Allen's movies when you were living in England.
Yes,
before you moved to the States.
Saw a few, yeah.
So I'm wondering, you know, how did his very New York Jewish neurotic personality translate to you when you were living in England and like far away from the culture that he's so representative of, you know?
I didn't get it. I really didn't get it. It was like I was 10 years old when Monty Python came out in England. I didn't get that because I wasn't a male middle to upper class university student. I sort of get it now. You need like a lifetime to figure it out. I didn't get Woody. I think I watched Annie Hall when I still lived in England. I was like, these people are so neurotic. They need a good slap. because English people don't really, it's analyze themselves so much, just kind of get on with things. I didn't really get it. I do now. I've lived in America a long time. The first film of his that I really got and I just really touched me was Broadway Danny Rose. And I think I watched that when I was pregnant with my first child and I was sort of hanging around at home a lot. And I'd sort of been watching a lot of TV to try and catch up on American humour. Like, I was watching things like The Facts of Life. I think this is American comedy. And then my husband showed me Broadway Danny Rose. And it broke my heart. I loved it so much. It's in my top three films.
This is a movie about a small-time agent.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's about a loser. It celebrates the loser. And it's so endearing and funny. And Mia Farrow was amazing, because I didn't recognise her till halfway through the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I thought America was all about, we're winners, we're special. And they never sort of like were self-depreciating. Yeah. And that I just thought, wow, that someone could make fun of themselves like that. Then I was totally hooked on Woody Allen.
What surprised you about how the real Woody Allen compared to his movie persona?
He's very quiet. I mean, it takes a while to get to know him at all. I feel I can talk to him and, you know, make jokes. And I mean, he's so much fun. If he cracks a joke, it's always just great. You know, he was sitting on the set one day looking through the Village Voice. And usually the guys can talk to him about the Knicks. And he was looking through the personal ads of the Village Voice. And he said to his assistant, Lauren, he said, oh, they're still looking for 212 lesbians. And she said, oh, Woody, that means like the area code, like 212 Manhattan lesbians. And I thought, he knows. He just, I love that. He doesn't want to socialise. I'm like that too. I might just want to get on with the work, you know. But I do. I just admire him enormously. And as I say, because he's so good to his crew and he's great on the set, and because I've worked with so many directors, it's all about ego and screaming at people at a certain time during the day. And I never saw him do that.
Do the controversies in his personal life complicate things working with him? Because...
Yeah, I don't get involved in that. You know, I remember when I did Bullets Over Broadway, I think he was going through a very stressful personal time then, and I remember him having to race off at certain times, I think, you know, for court appearances and things. I mean, things seem to be sort of levelling out. I mean, he seems a lot calmer. The baby is a darling and comes to the set and he loves the little Bichet, and, you know, Suni was around a lot with the baby, and I think their lives are sort of calming down somewhat, but it's really... none of my business. I'd never pass judgment on it or mention it. You know, it's not for me to say.
You're going to be doing another HBO series. Tell us something about it.
I've really enjoyed working for HBO the past 4 years. I did four seasons of Tracy Takes On. I mean, it's talking about how liberating and, you know, spontaneous Woody Allen films are. I mean, that's what I'm doing on HBO. It's like the BBC with money. I love it. For 4 years, I've been doing Tracy Takes On, where I play all these extraordinary characters and I sort of smother myself in rubber and yak hair and fat suits. And it's been enormous fun, but it's like I've proved I can do that. And I want to try and write a show this year that I play one, maybe two, or maybe three characters. My husband says, that's enough. But, you know, to prove that I can look sort of like me. And do a funny, interesting show. I mean, I do so much admire Lily Tomlin when she did Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe, and she just used light and body posture to change characters. I'd like, you know, it's my time to do something like that. I got a little tired of working in all the makeup. So I'll start to write that in August. I'm gathering a team now, and it's a good idea. I'm really excited about it.
Now, is it going to be a sketch comedy or...
No,
same characters every week?
Yeah, same characters every week. But so this is going to be a challenge, but I'm looking forward to it. And I'll be able to direct them all myself now because I won't be wearing so much makeup, so I won't spend all my time in makeup. I mean, I've had a couple of very good directors on Tracy Takes On, but... some of the others, I don't know. I'm getting to that stage now, Terry, where I just want to... I want to do everything. I want total control. And I can't be doing with someone who doesn't do it right. You know, I know too much. Longevity in this business. I'm a veteran of this business. I can't be doing with stupid directors. I want to do it myself.
Was makeup really what was holding you back from directing? Because you had to spend so much time getting the costumes?
Yes, there's a big reason. A big reason. And also, you know, really feeling now that I know... I first started to... go in the editing room, and from editing I really learnt about shots and
lenses and all that stuff, and I really feel confident to go and tell people how to do it now and to do that. I mean, you have to learn. It's a process, but I feel ready to do it now and act in it.
Well, I wish you good luck with the series.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you again for talking with us.
Oh, it's always lovely to talk to you. You're such a good interviewer. You're a doll.
Tracy Ullman stars in the new Woody Allen movie, Small Time Crooks. I'm Cherie Gross, and this is Fresh Air.